What are we going to do today? So here I want to do something a little bit different. But since my share, we've been doing the beginning of Pesachim. That was as good a time as ever to do this. This is really a much broader amagat at the topic, and that is the following. Okay. Methodologically, I mentioned this briefly when we were doing introduction that whatever you think, however you think you're supposed to read Agadah, there's an added question, which is how do you read Agadah in the context of the halachic discussions in the Gemara? Okay? So the Me'iri has an approach to life. If you've read through the Me'iri, how many of you have just like read the Me'iri Alasei there anywhere? The beginning of any Masechta? Probably not. Okay. So pretty much every Masechta, the Me'iri will start something like, here's the main topic, Ve'al Derech HaGilgul, dot, 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 dot. What's Derech HaGilgul?
Roll over.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, tangential. That's exactly what it is. When, how does he explain all the things that are not on topic? Al derech ha-gilgul will be like, these are the stuff that the Gemara mentioned along the way. Why are they here? I don't know. They're along the way, right? He doesn't really explain himself, right? So one way of thinking about this is like, look, how do all these come up? I don't know. Eichshu, they come up. We're learning a Gemara. You go to the next Gemara. Yalla, it makes no sense how we got there. Okay, you know, it doesn't make sense, all these conversations I overhear in this Beit Midrash, right? Right, Simon? Right? The conversations I overhear don't make any sense. That's what happens in a Beit Midrash sometimes. Yeah, no, it doesn't. Right? And so it could be that the Gemara's like, that's too. Look, it was a lively Beit Midrash, and as we know, lively Beit Midrash conversations happen. Yes, they happen. And for some reason, they got recorded in the Gemara. So that's one way of looking at these Agadot. So you understand them in context, and why you understand them not in context, rather. You understand them on their own terms. Why they are where they are. Kacha. Right? Or, right? In Hebrew, that's how they would say it. Lama kacha. Right? Why? Because. Okay? Lama kacha. At the other extreme, especially when it comes to Agadot, that you have people like Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who say no. It's not just that Agadot are meaningful, they're meaningful in context. They're meaningful in context. Maybe not always, but his bias is towards saying they're meaningful in context. So, for example, his most famous one, which I've mentioned before, is why do the Agadot HaChorban, the Agadot that discuss the Chorban in the Beit HaMikdash, why do they appear in Gittin? Exactly, right? Because if you look at Yishayahu, you discover that the organizing metaphor of Galut is divorce. And therefore, at its height, right, in Perek Nun, in Yishayahu, what does God say to them? Where is your get? Right? You think you don't have to keep the Torah anymore? Where is your get? Where do you see that I divorced you? Right? So if the metaphor that Tanakh uses to describe Galut is the thought of divorce or divorce, so then the Agadot of the Chorban are going to be embedded in Gittin because that's an organizing principle, a way of thinking about the Masechta and highlighting the fact that the relationship of God is, now the question is, what's the chicken, what's the egg, right? Is it that we are talking about Gittin and then we talk about the metaphorical get? Or is it at some level you go the opposite way, that at some level all human relationships are modeled, right, based on sort of the metaphorical relationships we have with God and our reflections of that, right? I don't know which way you want to go. Depending on how symbolic you want to get, but fundamentally there is a thematic connection between them. It happens to be that a lot of modern scholarship that's been written on Agadot, that's been written on the Mishnah in general, has gone much more in this direction. That these things are not random, and that Chazal, now obviously not every single thing, it's not like there can never be something in the Gemara that came up derech agav, or they came up parenthetically. That happens. But especially longer Agadot, right? It's one thing you have like a line. It's another thing the Churban Gemara take two blot, right? Two, three blot, right? It's like, right? This is not like accidental. Like we're putting a huge piece of Gemara, we put it right here in the middle of Gittin. So Agadot like that, if you want to understand what they're doing, you have to think structurally, right? How many of you guys are literature guys who like, okay, one sort of, few guys, right? If you think, I'm not like a huge literature person, but right, to think about literary structure, well, I mean, not like you, just who like thinking about literature and structure and things like that, right? Okay, a few of you. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to be. I'm not like.
Context of Torah.
I don't care. I liked it more when I'm in Torah. I'm okay with it. I'll be honest that I'm not like a huge literature person outside of it. You know, I know. I'm a Philistine. I got it. It's fine. I remember one of my. I was having a conversation with Ray Waxman once in Gush, and I mentioned to him that I don't appreciate modern art, or especially particularly Rothko.
I agree. With
right. That. Right, and Rothko, if you're not even at Rothko, is a modern artist that everything is just the two colors. The two colors. Everything is just two colors. Right, these things have sent for like tens of millions of dollars. And the people who like Rothko love Rothko. I went to Museum of Modern Art once. No, the Boston Museum of Fine Arts with a few people. What? Yes, exactly. I've told you guys in my share. And I went with Ray Senders, a big Talmud Chacham, and he told me, yes, people, Rothko paints a pure emotion. And the way you look at a Rothko is you look at the top and it hits you here, and you look at the bottom and it hits you here, and then you let the emotions mix. And I'm like, I do not understand at all. I am not in the Madrega. And I said this to Ray Waxman once, and he's like, that's just because you're a Philistine. And then he's like, well, he's like, I don't know if it's fair to call you a Philistine because you can quote Aristotle chapter and verse. Right. I was like, look, I like philosophy. I like psychology. I like physics. I like whatever. Literature, Popesham, certain literature I like, but I'm not like a big. Huge lit guy, like Chatai Ani Maskir Hayom, okay, before Yom Kippur, you know, like it's a new Al Chet. But in Gemara, I happen to be, I'm okay with it. But so if you think literarily, you think about structure, right? So a lot of people really do care about this. And this is true not just of Agadata, it's true also of the halakhic arguments, right? So for example, I'll just give you a very brief example where you see it in classical literature, more classical, let's say. So how many of you have learned Kiddushin? Okay, so the first parak of Kiddushin, I probably mentioned this guys in my share. First parak of Kiddushin is sort of a weird structure, right? The first Mishnah makes sense, which is Haisha Nikne, what are the three ways you get married? And then the rest of the parak makes, most of it makes sense, which is once we talk about the different ways of acquisition to marriage, what do we say? We talk about how you are Kone Karka, right? How you buy, right? Avadim, and how you buy Metaltalin, da da da. And then what's the second half of the parak that everyone at some point in their life has learned? Mitzvot ha'av al ha'ben, mitzvot ha'ben al ha'av, right? The obligations you have to your father, the obligations your father has to you, right? Pidyon ha'ben, bris mila, da-da-da. And then, kol Yisrael yishlam chiluk l'maba, da-da, right? What are you doing, right? Like, there's a beautiful structure in the Mishnah, and then, like, what happens? So the Pnei Yeshua says, and modern academics have gotten very into this idea, and they say it's very simple. Why is this Mishnah in the first parak of Kiddushin? What's the theme of the parak? Kinyanim. And what are mitzvot? What is the Mishnah telling you? They're kinyanei olam haba. That's the point. Right? Here are the mitzvot in the last Mishnahs. This is how you get olam haba. Right? So the Mishnah is telling you that just like there are kinyan olam haza, there's kinyan olam haba. But you learn that from the structure. Right? From the fact that they include that in the parak that talks about kinyanim. Right, so sometimes you get important things from it. So Pesachim is a little bit weird. Okay, the guys in my share know that you would think the beginning of Pesachim would focus primarily about Pesach. Good. What is the first two blots of the Gemara about? Or light. That the first Mishnah is or la arba asar, the light of the 14th, and then the Gemara goes for two blots, and says, how do I know that or is night and brings proofs? It is, it isn't, or means day, or means night. There's a difference between or, there's a difference between or and ora, and it goes on forever, right? That is why it is now, there are now two morning shader shirim, and I am on Daf Dalit. And it's not just because I go slow, but it's because I was doing every sugya that came up, toch g'day, this discussion about or, and it talks about Baba Machteret and Lashon Nikia and like traveling at night and Yosef and his brothers. I mean, anything you can think of comes up two blot of light metaphors. Light, night, over and over. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, the guys in my shir were like, yes, it took forever. Halivai, it stopped there. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, right? And in fact, if you turn, right? So if you look at the Gemara, Bet through Dalid is about light. Great. However, Psachim, okay? Psachim is made up fundamentally of how many mesechtot, essentially?
Two units.
Right? Two units. And at some point, it was even divided into two mesechtot. Right? The Miri tells you that at some point in history, Psachim was two mesechtot. How were they divided? The first, second, third, fourth, and tenth perek, which was about Pesach, not in the Beit HaMikdash, not Karban. And the fifth through ninth, which is about Karbanot. Okay? Of those, which of those talk about Chametz? First, second, and third. Right? So if you think about Psachim, Psachim is three Prakim about Chametz. The fourth parak is about Minhag. Right? Anyone write Sklarsh here? Yeah, fourth parak, Minhag, right? Makom Shnahagu. Right? Fifth through ninth, Karbano. Tenth parak is Seder Night. Okay? So three Prakim, 50 blot, 49. Right? Ends and Dafnun are about Chametz. Okay? If you open up to Daf Nun, right, this is the end of the, you know, crazy Gemara about killing Amaratzim that I mentioned to you before, right? That's on Memtet. Right. Actually, go back one daf, right? What? You go back to... Actually, you know, before I do that, before I get there, fine. Look at the end. Look at the end of the perek. So, look at the top of Daf Nun, okay? Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Zeviz Dekishtei, Beitzim Lo Dolchamer. The Gemara is in the middle of a halachic discussion of, right, the size of Chametz, fine. Then the Gemara says, it launches into, Vahaya Bayomahu, Lo Yeheh, Or Yikarot V'Kipa'on. The Gemara launches into an Agadata. And what is this Agadata about?
More or.
Yay! You got it. More or. Right? More or. Right? What is that? It quotes a pasuk in Zechariah that in that day there will be or yikarot v'kipa'on. Good. What is or yikarot v'kipa'on?
I thought you already established that or was.
No, the rest of the other.
Part. Yeah, so what is it? What is or yikarot v'kipa'on?
Precious and...
Good, that's the Gemara's question, right? The Gemara says, what the heck is Yikarot V'Kipa'on? Right, that's the Gemara's point, right? What is that? What is Yikarot, right? It's heavy clouds and Kipa'on, thickness, and what is that? Amr Lazar, Ze'or She'yakar Ba'olam Hazeh V'Kafui La'olam Haba. This is the light provided by the sun, which is significant in this world and insignificant in the world to come.
Oh, isn't that just a war?
What?
How does that differ from regular war?
Right, yeah, whatever. Right? So, before we get into what the Gemara even means, it turns out that we're not done. At the end of the Chametz unit, right, 50 blot later, it's like, okay, we've actually talked about a whole lot of things in between. Chametz, Chametz Nukshe, Yehorik Val Yavor, Mi'ilah, da da da. By the way, you're ending the Chametz unit, I need to tell you some things you forgot or didn't know yet about light. You know, after two blot about light, where you learned everything, and again, for God is not in my shir, it goes like this. What is night? What is or? And then it tells me a proof from the case of Yosef's brothers, and it takes me a case in Shmuel, and then it goes back to the creation of the world, and again goes to the stars praising God, right? And then it goes to the case of or in the context of the person tunneling into your house to kill somebody, and then in Eov, whatever is going on in Eov, right? Right? We went on this for a long, long time, right? And then at some point, the Gemara says, yeah, but, and maybe they're not even arguing. It's just like they use different words in their places. So, like, this was not a machloket, right? We just, like, talk about or and or and or. And then, after 50 blot, we come back and we say we have more things to talk about. Light. Yes? Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, very good. Well, well done on a Kabbalistic pun. Thank you. Fine. So, good. So, if you believe that Agadotot are organizing principles, that they're not just, right, localized, but they actually part of the structure, so then you have to look back and say, this is not accidental, right? There's something about this that, something about this Masechta that brings together a lot of light, and something, it's telling me something thematic. I don't know what it is yet, right? But it is, but it's some, but it's something. And the truth is that this unit, it's not just that it starts with or and ends with or, right? Why else would I think it's a unit? So again, a lot of what I'm going to say is based on Rabbi Dr. Yonatan Feintuch, who's one of really the finest modern Parshanim on Agadah. He's excellent. I find his stuff to be excellent in general. And he, his book is on Yoma, right? Very good. But he also has a few articles on Psachim, and also Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Brandis, who's the head of the Teachers College at Gush, Machon Herzog, Michal Herzog. So he says it's not just that that it starts with or and ends with or. Halachically, the structure is also similar. So the first perek of Psachim, the end of the perek deals with burning the leftover of karbanot, right? And burning the leftover truma, right? And the like, and all the complicated sugyot of Chanina Skana Kohanim, which I'm not going to get into because Moshe, why am I not going to get into Chanina Skana Kohanim with them? Because no one wants to do it, because it's the hardest sugyot in all of Shas, right? Yeah, he told me from Rai Targan said the proper way to learn Chanina Skana Kohanim is learn all of Shas first, and then when you have no other choice because you've learned everything else, then come back to Chinyus Kanakonim. Well, if I understood it at this point in my life, I would tell you, but I still struggle with it. It is very, very, very hard. What? Tarot. Very complicated things of Tarot and burning second, third, and fourth, and possibly fifth degree Tumah, Suffeg, this, that, all together. One, it's very complicated. Anyways, and it ends with all the burning of these things. Now, the end of the third parak of Psachim is about this. Right? Also, it's about burning Nosar, right? The leftover karbonot, right? And right, so, and how, right? Both the first parak talks about burning your chametz, and what if you're traveling and things like that. The third part talks about what if you're traveling and you forgot about Nosar, right? So there are also other organizational things that point to the fact that these prakim are a unit, right? That they're structured similarly. I'm not going to go through all of his proofs, but he says once you see that there's a certain right unit here, three prakim about chametz, and that they have similar themes at the beginning and the end of it. So he says, now, what do I do? How do I deal with this thematic approach? And what do I do? How do I figure out what the Gemara is trying to teach me by this broad, broad, you know, blot after blot after blot about the meaning of light? And does night or mean night? Does or mean day? That, yes.
Maybe the term or is like way of talking about like the Shartan and Mashiach, and Pesach is like connected, like it's telling that Pesach is very thematically connected to not just like that Pascal, or Pascal, but like future.
Okay, so you tell me. So Josh tells me that maybe part of it is that it's telling you that what? That the thematic, what is the thematic connection? Geula. Okay, why would you say Geula? So he says, because what? Right? Okay, right, so hold that thought, right? That maybe it's bad kula. Now, again, now why, besides the fact that it's several blot worth, and besides the fact that the unit starts and finishes with it, as I said, why else might you think that or is doing something symbolic? So I said, you have that very odd Gemara on Daf Gimel, where the Gemara, after going through all of this, what does Or mean, what does Or mean, what does Or mean, what does Or mean, the Gemara brings that weird machloket of Rav Huna Kari Nage, Vatra Rav Huna Kari Lele, right? That in one place you call it, not right, you called it, right? In different places you call it different things, that Rav Yehuda, Vuna and Rav Yehuda agree at Lahalacha, and they just speak in terms of their language, and the Mishnah chose the language that Or was night. But the Gemara acknowledges that what? It's also not that. Right? It's also day. It also means other things. But we chose to use the word Or, meaning it was a choice. The Gemara tells you it's aware of this. Right? So it's a choice to use. It's not like it's the only meaning. So Josh says, well, maybe it is about Geula. But the truth is that if you want to do this well, before you get that first, you have to say, wait a second. He just says it's Geula. So you tell me, where would methodologically, if you wanted to figure out why light is central to Pesach, so he jumps to Geula. Good. Start before that. Why would I do that thematically? Rather than just throw ideas in the air. Tell me, let's be systematic about this. Why would I think that Or is about Geula, and why is that relevant on Pesach? Is there anything that would indicate that to me? Yes, Josh?
The idea of and leaving in the morning, it's all about light.
So you're jumping to the end, but someone want to give me a before that? Okay, good. We want to go even before that? No. Don't worry, you're all right, but let's think. Wait a second. Right? I think you're all on the right tracks. The first thing you have to do is wait. The Gemara seems to be obsessed with Or about Pesach. Is there a reason in Tanakh that it should be obsessed? Is there something about Pesach that obsesses us with Or? And the answer is yes. So Makat Choshech is great. Even before Choshech? Yeah, it starts actually before Choshech. What's right before Choshech? Arba, good. Someone want to tell me how is Arba described in Chumash? Oh, very good. Right, I'll read you the pasuk. Right. Right. I should have really just told you to bring a Chumash also, but it's okay. Right. And again, today I want to show you more methodological. Hey, we do this. You want to give me a Chumash? This is just being annoying. The internet is being so annoying. Any Chumash? Right. So in. Right, so if you look in
Bo.
Yes, Bo. Perkyud, yes. Yud. Right? So at locusts, right, at Arbe, you get Vayal Arbe Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, Vayanach B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim Kavein Mod, Lefanav Lo Yachain Arbe Kamo Bachrav Lo Yachain, right? Have there never been locusts like this? Right? It's Arba, except you're already getting Choshech, right? You forget the Choshech. Makat Choshech actually is the second of the Makot that it's about Choshech. The first one is Arba, that the land is darkened, right? The motif of the punishments, the closing punishments, the climactic punishments, starting with number 8, is darkness. And then, of course, the next one is? What? Right, is of course. The 9th one is Choshech, but not just Choshech. Now you start getting something interesting that Moshe notes, right? Which is the Mitzrim had Choshech. But the Jews had Orbe Mitzrim. Wait, you're telling me that the third to last, the Makot, the it's described as bringing darkness. And then the Makot Choshech is described as the Jews having light and the Mitzrim having Choshech. Wait a second. Okay, now we're starting to get the way it's that it's actually not accidental, right? Now, then the next one is what? Makas Becharos. Good. Yeah, what about Makas Becharos? What? Yes. So what else? So if you look at the Psikta Derev Kahana, right? You wouldn't know this, right? But in Psikta Rav Kahana, the Midrash says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Rabbi Avon quotes Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi that Batya or Bitya was a firstborn. So why was she saved?
female?
What? So she was, no, because Moshe davened for her. And then he quotes a pasuk. What pasuk?
Oh.
Pasuk in Mishle, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yurchet. Okay, I didn't expect you to know that, right? Which is what? What is, what pasuk is that? What is Mishle Perek Lamed Aleph, also known as?
Oh, Eishes Chayil.
Good. So what pasuk do they quote in context of Bitcha Bat Paro? With pasuk Yurchet? You have a sitter. Open the sitter. Spoon feed it to you. Come on. What?
Is it Sadi?
No, but there's two for Ashes. Is it the Sadi one?
Right. It. Well, it's right. It's not the 18th letter because it's not the whole parak. Tama kitav sachra, her business is good. Lo yichbe, valayla neira. Sikta Rav Kana, which is very early, Tanitic, right? I think, or Amorek. It's very early midrash, right? It says, oh, why was she saved? Because Moshe davened for her. What's the pasuk it quotes? Right? Lo yichbe, valayla neira. Her candle won't be extinguished at night. Right? That's its pasuk, right? He davened for her so that. Right, so now we saw in the 8th, it's darkness. The 9th already tells us that the difference between night and dark is symbolically the difference between the Jews and the non-Jews, right? And now, particularly Rav Kahneman, it's a very learned midrash, says, oh yeah, in Makot B'charot, the people who are saved are the candles that don't go out. Now, they tell you that bacha, but, you know, you can very easily say, oh wait, that's also what's going on. Yeah, that's what the Jews are going on also, right? There's this darkness and death, right, in the darkest part of the night. B'chatzot alayla, darkness, literally, like, right? That's when everyone dies, right? And the Jews, when do they have to leave? They die. They leave during the day, right? We know that it's a big deal, right? They don't leave at night, right? They can't leave ad boker, right? Even though they're allowed to leave at night, they don't leave till the day, right? There has to be. Does it stop here? Does it stop here? No. Does the light metaphor stop in? When they maka, does it? No, it doesn't. When they get to the climax of the climax, what's the climax of the climax of the story? No, before that, Kriyat Yamsuf.
Yeah.
And when the Jews and Mitzrayim are literally, right? What? How do we describe the moment when the Jews and the non-Jews and the Mitzrayim? Right, they're chasing them, and how does God stop them? He brings a pillar of a cloud, puts it in the middle. There is darkness and cloud. And he makes the night light. Right? So the moment when the Egyptians are about to get them, right, the angel stops them with darkness and then by turning the night into light. Now, remind me how the first parak, how the first mission of Pesachim started? Or Lar Basar, the night, and we call it Or. Now, if you remember that the climactic moment of the Yetziat Mitzrayim story actually is when the Malach turns the night into light. Right, that's actually what the pasuk says, right? This is not like any, what? Vayayer et halayla. He makes the light night. That's all I know. That's what it says in the pasuk, right? So suddenly you see that there's a motif that goes throughout the Pesach story in the Torah that now you go back in the first Mishnah. Wait. A night which is called Or? That actually sounds familiar, right? I know that there's a light. You mean... Makat Choshech, you mean it was dark, but the Jews perceived it as light? Oh, it creates Yamsuf, you mean it was dark, and the Jews perceived it as Or? You mean it was Or, the angel made it light for the Jews? You mean there was a night which was called Or? Wow! thematically, suddenly it starts to sound familiar and starts to say that maybe this isn't crazy that the Mishnah starts off.
Why not bring this as true? Why wait until the very end of bring it?
Oh, we're not done.
Also, did it create Yom Tov happen during the night?
What?
Did it create Yom Tov happen during the night?
No, no, no. This is the night before, right? Like when the Jews and right when they're standing there the night right before. Now there are certain midrashim that draw it even farther. So, for example, Breishit Rabbah, which is a pre-Talmudic, right? This is a Tannaitic midrash, right? Says on the first the beginning of the Torah, Vayar Elokim et Haor Ki Tov, right? Vayhi Or, there was light. Has a very cryptic statement. Vayhi Or, Breishit Rabbah says, what is that? What does this refer to? Sefer Shmot. Sefer Shmot. When the Jews leave Mitzrayim from the gloom to the light. That is Breishit Rabbah, right? Or the Yalkut Shimoni goes farther and it says that Hashem asked the angels and he said, I want to create the world. And they said, why? Why would you create the world? And God says, for the Jewish people. And they say, well, what is the nature of such Jewish people? And he says, just as I separated between the light and the dark, so was it in Egypt, and for all the Israelites there was light where they lived. This is the Midrash, okay? What? What? I don't know exactly what that means. Now, so now you'll tell me, so who asked me? Avi said, so why didn't you just tell me this? Where's all this symbolism? So besides for the fact that Tanakh assumes that you know Chumash a little bit, right? Is it true that the Gemara doesn't give you hints to this? So now go back to the Gemara. What is the first proof of the Gemara trying to figure out that Or means night? First one, who opened up the Masech? The Meitve. Haboker Or. Vanashim Shulchu. Alma Or Yimamahu. What's the context of that? Yosef and his brothers. You'll tell me, Mapitom, I don't understand. What are you telling me? That's not about Egypt. Oh, wait, yes it is, right? Because where are they being sent from? Be'or Habok. Where are they being sent from?
Egypt.
Yes, the Jews are literally being sent out of Egypt. That pasuk is when Yosef's, right? Right? When he sends them back to get Yaakov, to bring him down to Egypt, right? That's the first time, right? When he actually sends them back, right, to bring back, this is the Binyamin time, right? But he's actually sending them back, meaning the first proof in the Gemara is actually the Jews leaving, not the Jews yet, but Bnei Yisrael, like, actually leaving Egypt, you know, with the word Or. So you mean the first proof actually does bring you thematically to Egypt with light and the Jews leaving Egypt. Yes, it actually does. And that's actually the beginning of the whole story, right? The Yosef story is how the Jews end up in Egypt. And now you'll tell me that's too drashy. Oh, the Jews leaving Egypt. That's great. Except the Pnei Yeshua says, really, is it so drashy? Turn to Dav Zion. No, Zion Amud Bet. Right, you're going to tell me, oh, that's too much of a drash. Where did you get the idea this is important? So look at the bottom. Lo'or Haner. You must search for chametz by candlelight. Mino hanimili. What is the source that you look for? The chametz by candlelight. Amar of Chizda, lamadnu mitzia mi mitzia mi mitzia mi chippos, v'chippos mi chippos, v'chippos mi neirot, v'neirot mi neir. Mitzia mi mitzia mi mitzia, right? We have a 10-step gzeirah shaveh, right? So it's a gzeirah shaveh. We compare mitzia to mitzia, then chippos to chippos, chippos from neirot, neirot mi neir. Okay, you don't have to follow all that. The Gemara is a whole big Gzeirah Shaveh. What's the Gzeirah Shaveh? Mitzia mi mitzia. We compare two cases of finding. Tivach hashivat yamim. So or lo imatze bevateichem. For 7 days you shall not find chametz. Uktiv hatam, and it says there, Vaychapes bagadol hechel uvakatan chila vayimtza. What is the source? The source. Yes. The first source that we use in Nair is from Yosef searching Binyamin's bag. Right? The Egyptian searching Binyamin's bags. I mean, that story is actually the source. Like, the source. This is not like some drash. Like, this is the first source that the Gemara says you need a candle. Then it says, Well, I'll hold that for a thought for a second. Okay. So the Gemara itself actually connects and proves the fact that we search by the light of the candle from Yosef. Right? Right? Like, halachically, that is actually the source. Right? The Gemara actually assumes that the source. So now, our next clue is, first of all, we have a night which is called Or, which is a common theme, which is a theme that runs through the Pesach stories. And then it turns out that the first source in this story is from Yosef, which is leaving Egypt, and that's also the source for the halacha, the Bokin or Anir, right? That's actually the halachic source, right? So it's not just some weird drash. This is actually the halachic source. Pnei Yeshua points that out. Okay, now what? So now you'll tell me, okay, so what is Or doing in the Pesach stories? What is his purpose? So it says Geula. Good. What Geula? So why would I say Geula? Okay, so you say, well, it is Geula. That's great. Except...
We call when Mashiach comes a day that it's not going to be there.
What?
We call the time when Mashiach comes that it's not going to be there.
Sure. But now let's go back. Remember, how did this unit end on Daf Nun? Right? So on Daf Nun, the end of this three-parag unit, remember we had this story of, right, from a pasuk in Zechariah. What is Zechariah talking about, by the way, in Parag Yudalad? Gula. Gula, that's actually what Zechariah Parag Yudalad is talking about. And the pasuk is, right, on that day, Vayabayomahu, right? On that day, they'll be inscribed in the bells of the horses, holy to the God. The Gemara says, what are the bells and the horses mean? Right? Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that what? Hashem is going to add to Yerushalayim. Right? So he says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Elu ben Adam, Shakar and Haim Ba'olam Azeh, Kuin El Mabak, Yadar of Yosef, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Chalash, etc. Skipping down, right? Skip down, you see where it says Shum again, where it comes back to the Pasuk? Bayom Ahu Yel Matulat Hasus Kodesh Lashem, my Matulat Hasus, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Atira Kodesh Baruch Lahosef Ayushalayim, Ach Hasuts Ratz Umatzil. Hashem is going to add to Yerushalayim until what? As far as a horse can run and cast its shadow. Right? Yeah, tail. The verb of tail. To cast a shadow. Right? So the Gemara, in fact, does connect this to what? To this future, miraculous, geula thing, right? That's the pasuk that it closes this unit with, and this idea that there won't be this darkness, right? And then remember the Gemara I said at the end, Vayah Hashem lamelech al kol haaretz bayomahu Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And remember I told you I can't just jump to this because yes, it talks about God's name, but why is it telling you this whole discussion about God's name is b'olam hazeh b'olam haba? It's a drusha on that pasuk and that. And Zechariah, the parak ends literally with Vaya Bayom Hahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That on that day God will be one. The parak actually ends with Yemos Mashiach, with Geula, right? Like that's what it is, and it connects it to what keyword? Or, right? Light is the Geula. Right now, if you go through the Gemara has other suggestions about light and Geula, and we can go through through all of this and God's oneness, and there's all types of interesting drashot go into the Agadata. But so if we now recap, you say, okay, wait a second. First of all, night is defined as or. But that actually fits with the Pesach story. And then, is it about Geula? Well, it actually is, because the Gemara, A, connects it back to the first time we went to Mitzrayim, which was about Or, which was the beginning of the story, when we went down into Galut, right? When Yosef sends his brothers back, and that starts the descent into Egypt. And the unit, 50 blot later, finishes with Geula, and Or being about Geula in the future. So these 50 blot are actually bracketed at the beginning. It starts with or imagery that talks about the beginning of the Galut to Mitzrayim, when the Jews go down, and it ends with the or of the Geula all the way in the end. So now suddenly you say, wait a second, is this a drash? I mean, maybe it is, but is it a drash we came up with, or Chazal trying to actually make a conceptual point, right? Which is, Pesach is about Geula. Geula is represented by light. The dichotomy of Jews versus the Mitzrayim was light and darkness. That is the theme of Pesach, and Pesach is the Chag HaGeula, and therefore it is thematically connected to Geula Latid Lavo, and therefore all those light metaphors that you find elsewhere in Tanakh about Geula, they find their roots in Pesach, right? They find their roots in Pesach. Now, there's another agadic idea that Hasidim are very, very into, okay? Before I do that, I'll give you one more Geula one, and that is the one from Tzfanya that was on... Where do we have it? On Ched Amud Aleph, right? On Ched Amud Aleph, the Gemara... Mm-hmm. And finishes its comparisons, and it quotes Tzvanya, right? Vayichapes the chippos chippos. What's the chippos? Beira hi achapes Yerushalayim b'nei rot. That day, I will search Yerushalayim by candles. Oh yeah, you're right. So it's the right before that, right? Now what do the psukim say in Tzvanya? Right, that I will search Yerushalayim b'nei rot. I will punish the men who are hardened, right? And then what does he say? He'll punish them. And how do the psukim describe the punishment of the non-Jews on that day? Bingo! Thank you. The end of that pasuk, if you actually know it, right? If you actually know the end of that pasuk, of that perek, right? It will tell you that not only is Geula described as light, but the punishment of the nations is described as darkness. And if Tzvanya will actually open, I can read you the pasuk in Tzvanya. Why is our internet being impossible today? I know. If Telly wants to, but I'm running out of time. But Tzvanya? Nothing. You. I know, horrible. Right, so Tzvanya. Second. So Tzvanya, the end of that unit is Pasuk Tet Vav. Yom Evra, Yom Ahu, Yom Tzara Mitzuka, Yom Shoa Mishawa, that day of destruction, da da da, Yom Choshech Vafela, Yom Anan Varafel. Right, day of darkness and gloom of cloud. Sound familiar? Right? You mean like Krieg Yamsuf. Right? So it's invoking that same imagery. So to say that it's trying to go thematically and highlight the fact that Pesach is about Geula, and Pesach was the time where night was turned into dark, where night was turned into light for the Jews, and that light is a Geula metaphor, that's actually something that permeates A, the story in Tanakh, B, the psukim that the Gemara quotes throughout these Agadatot, right, are following that imagery, and that's how it opens and closes. Now, of course, I can't go through all of it, but if you follow other Agadatot, you'll see that the Gemara says that about Taharot, right? That Nigayim, another on the drushot on Daf Nun, is that Nigayim and Olot are darkness in this world, but they're light in the next world, because you will understand them, right? This idea that we'll come to understand these esoteric parts of Torah that will be darkness to light, right? Sort of a different type of a spiritual geula. Now, there's another idea that may be here. So if anyone has ever heard any Hasidish drasha on Pesach, thank you, they will say that the imagery of Bedikat Chametz and light isn't just about Geula. What is it about? And now you're going to tell me all it's Hasidish. Good. But now I'll show you shot in the Gemara, right? What do Hasidim say? Bedikat Chametz isn't just about Bedikat Chametz. What is it? Come on, we did the Radbaz. Chametz is the Seor Shebaisa. It's the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, Bedikat Chametz isn't just about sin, but it's about searching your heart and introspection. And it sounds like a very nice word, right? It sounds like a very nice word. It's a nice Hasidish word. And in fact, all the Hasidim say it. It's not surprising. It's a beautiful word that Pesach is the time that you go and you do introspection. And now you'll tell me, is that crazy? Is that just a word? Maybe it is a word. But is it a word that the Hasidish Rebbes came up with? No, it's not a word the Hasidish Rebbes came up with. Who is it a word that came up with? Chazal. Go back to Zion Amud Bet. So we stopped in the middle, right? So remember those ridiculous number of Zera Chavez? Great. So first we search in Binyamin's bag. Then the Gemara says, Vayimtzahu mitziyah mechipus tidei vechipus mineirot. Then we compare the pasuk of searching from neirot, dechtiv. God says, in the future, I will search Yerushalayim. V'neirot miner. And then I make Xer Yeshava from candles to candle. What pasuk? Dichtiv, quoting the pasuk in Mishle. Ner Hashem nishmat Adam. Chofez kol chadre baten. That the candle of God is man's soul, that he searches all the chambers of his inside chambers. That is the final source, halachic, for Bedikat Chametz, is that we learn that you need a ner for Bedikat Chametz from the fact that we search our soul. Okay? Now, if I didn't tell you this was a Gemara, you would be convinced that I just made up this drasha to come up with a Hasidish word about how Bedikat Chametz is supposed to also remind you to do introspection. Right? If it weren't for the fact that the Gemara goes out of its way to make a four-step Zera Shaveh, so that it can get you to the conclusion that the source for the notion that you do Bedikat Chametz with a candle is the fact that we compare the soul of a human being to a candle and you do introspection with a candle. That is not, amazingly enough, a Hasidish Rebbe, right? And that's the point that Dr. Yehuda Brandes points out, is he's like, you would think that this is a Hasidish drasha, and it is. And if you want it, he quotes you all the relevant Hasidish drasha. And he said, it's great. It's also the emergent structure of the Gemara. The Gemara has 50 blot of light metaphors. One level to it is to show the fact that a theme of Pesach is that night turned to day, that darkness turned to light. That's actually the pshat in the psukim, right? And therefore, literal night turned to day, right? A night which is or is not just night which is called or. It's literally the night before Kriyat Yom Suf where night was turned into light. That is actually the theme of Pesach. And that theme is invoked to bring the Geula. You tell me that's a drash. It is a drash. But it's a drash that Chazal make because they close the unit. And to be fair, they open the unit with the Pesukim in Sfanya that talk about how in the time, in the future, there will be darkness for our enemies and light for us. And then you'll say there's a second level to the drasha, and that is that Chametz is also about introspection and the Sefer Shavisa. And you'll say that's a weird Kabbalistic idea that happens to appear in many, many Rishonim and Achronim. Where did they get the idea that Chametz also symbolizes it? So you'll tell me it's a Hasidish drasha. It is a Hasidish for it. But it's also apparently the one the Chazal made because they thought that the source for the fact you do Bikin Chametz with an air is searching the soul of a person. I didn't do that. And I don't know of any other case in the Gemara where the Gemara goes out of its way to make a four-stage Zera Shava to get us to that conclusion, right? It's like the Gemara is bending over backwards to tell us that the source that you do Bedika by a candle is a pasuk about introspection in your heart, is a metaphorical one. So what both Dr. Brandes and Dr. Feintuch point out is that sometimes An agarata is just an agarata. And sometimes the fact that it appears in the Masechta is just random. But sometimes it appears so much, and it is so all-encompassing, right, that you just have to ask, are Chazal trying to give you a drasha? Now again, are you going to tell me it's pshat? I don't know what pshat means, right? As we saw in Rav Avraham and Rambam, is it legitimate to say that certain agadotot are just cute? They're telling you important ideas. Is it pshat? I don't know if it's pshat. Are Chazal telling you important ideas that on Pesach you should also be thinking about Geula and turning darkness to light like we did in Mitzrayim, and that you should also be thinking of introspection? Apparently they are, right? Is it pshat? I don't know what pshat means, right, here, right? Is it something that Chazal are clearly pointing to you if you pay attention to structure and you pay attention to the sources that they're quoting, right? And you read the psukim inside and see how the themes of light and darkness aren't something that they made up, but actually permeate the story, and that they connected to introspection, and that Chazal connected to Geula. I don't know how you escape it after you've read, right? Again, we literally just jumped around a little bit, but it's, you see, it's over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yes, Josh.
The idea of the Yitzhakar as her saying that Geula is also connected, because we there's a group that in the time of the Mashiach, which one's going to Shafi.
Thanks. Yes, you can add all types. Now, obviously, you could build this up more. Now, obviously, I'll just throw out a few more ideas and then I'll finish, right? Once you see this, you'll realize that Chazal build this up a lot, right? So, for example, the Pshat tells you that there is light in the houses of the Jews and there's darkness in the houses of the Mitzrim. But in the Midrashim, this becomes the source for a lot of other things, like in Midrash Rabbah, in Shmot Rabbah, it says that this becomes the source, right? It connects that with the Pasuk of Kriyat Yamsuf, right? It says that those two are two themes to show you that God brings darkness to our enemies and light for us. And then, going to Josh's point, the Midrash, if you weren't clear enough, Shmot Rabbah says, and just like God did that in Goshen, during Choshech, and just like he did it at Kriyat Yamsuf, Kach Hayag is Rakh Zahan Khoshim Machim Eli Israel, Kishem Chaslam Mitzrayim, Alzen Emra Hashem Orivi Yeshi, Va'af Latid Lavo, Kain Yaviyakul Israel, Khoshek Luma Viarli Israel. And in the time of Mashiach, God is gonna do the exact same thing, right? Shen Emma Arkinea Khoshek Hasarit for Afelumim Valaich Israel Hashem. Right, so is it Pshat? I don't know. Meaning it's Chazal making this drasha? In other places they make it explicitly, right? That's what you're supposed to learn from the light-darkness things, that this is a precursor for Geula. And again, all I wanted to show you, I'll finish with this, because there's a lot more we could say in it. What I wanted to show you is this idea of structure, right? Is that when you read classical, right? Because I told you, one of my goals during this year is not just to teach you agarata, but to teach you how to think about agarata. Right, so one of the big contributions I said to modern scholarship of agarata is that when you think about agarata, it's not just enough to think about the local agarata. Right, sometimes agarata is part of a structure, and Chazal aren't necessarily teaching you a lesson directly. Sometimes what they're doing is structure, by their very structure, they're sort of pointing in different directions, thematic directions that you want to call it pshat, you'll call it drash. Ideas that they want you to be thinking about that have some level of truth beneath the surface, right? And here, once you realize that the pshat in the psukim says that the key to understanding Mitzrayim is something about light for us and darkness for our enemies, and Geula is described in terms of lightness and dark, and that theme runs throughout Tanakh, from Tzvanya to Zecharia to all about Geula, and then suddenly you have a Mishnah that says that the night of Pesach is called Or, and you say, oh, Pesach is about turning darkness into light, at some level, whatever that means. And that halachically, that's true. Then suddenly you realize, oh, they're actually pointing to this theme. And the fact that you have these mystical sources that say, oh, and you think about Bidika Chametz, about searching your heart for Yitzhahara, that sounds like a drash. Maybe it is a drash. But Chazal go out of their way in the middle of these endless gemaras about life to be 4-step Zera Shaveh, only to get you to the point where you understand that the source for doing Bidika Chametz with a candle is doing introspection on your heart. And suddenly you realize, look, I don't know if it's pshat, but are Chazal trying to tell you that the idea of light and darkness is actually thematically central to thinking about Pesach? And that's why we start the Masechta with two blot of this? and end the third parak with another blot of it? I think so. It appears in the psukim, right? And it's not a stretch, right? Again, do I know if this is pshat? Do I know? Now, does this fit into the model that we talked about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Is agadah literal, not literal? This is a different way of thinking about it. That sometimes the way to think about agadah is, what are the themes Chazal are trying to get you to think about indirectly? Right? By integrating certain themes into the Mesechlan, are they trying to point at ideas, right, without saying them explicitly, to sort of fill out the picture of what a full view of this theme would look like? Here, I think the answer is obviously yes. Right? And the use of light metaphors and halachas about light and the use of psukim that intertwine psukim about light and darkness in Mitzrayim and in the time of Geula and about introspection are clearly pointing at the idea that Pesach, at pshat, maybe at what one thing, but also legitimately, thematically, conceptually, symbolically, is supposed to get you to think about Geula Latid Lavo and what that means, introspection. And that's not, again, is it a drash? Maybe, but it's Rosh that Chazal made, right? That Chazal are giving you a vort, as it were, on Pesach, on the deeper levels of Pesach. And sometimes that's the type of thing you're looking for in Agadata. You're not looking for the local thing. You're looking for a Chazal who constructed this Gemara, right? Are they telling you something by the way they put together these, right, these dapim, or these prakim in this case, right? And trying to get you think about broader issues through the images that they use. Okay, so I wanted you just to think about that. Again, did we flesh everything out? No, right? Did I give you a methodological tool? I hope so. Okay, fine. Josh, you wanted a question, then we'll end. Did you have something to say? Okay, good.